Still
each one. We give everyone a warm welcome. End our service this morning. Praise God. And we have a dedication this morning of Sina. I don't know if I'm saying it right or not, but and then also we want to pray for wee Ivy. She's got autism. And we want to pray for her as well, that the Lord will really touch her. But let's just bow our heads first of all while we pray for the Lord's blessing on our service. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come into your presence with thanksgiving and praise. We thank you for the songs we've been singing, for the words we've been singing, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, I welcome the Holy Spirit into this room. I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. I take authority over every work of the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. Come against the spirit of infirmity in Jesus Christ's name. And I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you will. Pray you bless the children as they come. Bless the parents as they come. Bless this service this morning, those that need a touch in the bodies. Grant it, Lord. Pray again for Sister Linda. You'll be with her this time. Bless her, strengthen her, and the little one, in Jesus' precious name. For any others this morning that need your touch, O God, touch them, I pray. For those with needs, Lord, unspoken, and that the prayer in secret, may you grant and meet every need, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fathers, we turn to your word this morning. Help us, inspire us, and save souls, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, cover us with your precious blood, everyone. And may the Lord Jesus Christ be uplifted and glorified in this house. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you this morning. Just as our, as the parents of Sina prepare to come, I was looking up the meaning of this name. Some say it's Italian, then there's the Irish meaning of it. But Sina is from the Hebrew origin, meaning God is gracious, also God's gift. God is gracious, God's gift. Sina is also a name full of warmth and energy. And in Mark 10, verse 14, Jesus said, "Suffer the little ones to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God." So I'm going to ask the parents of the bring Sina to be prayed for. Then after that, I'm going to get them to bring Ivy, and I'm going to get our elder brother John to come and pray for Ivy, especially that the Lord will really touch this week or this morning and do something for her. Praise God. We should bring Cena first of all. Pray and dedicate to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you in Jesus' precious name, and we thank you for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, you said suffer the little ones to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. We dedicate, we sing unto you, we pray for you, bless her. Pray your hand will be upon her all the days of her life. Pray for courage, that you bless them, bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. And we make the whole family circle as we bless her and dedicate her to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. How many of you can bring Ivy and go on this week? John, come on, you're going to pray.
For the gift of this young child, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to put your hand upon it.
Yes.
Right now in Jesus' name.
Yes, Jesus.
And right now in the name of the Lord Jesus, we lay our hands upon her, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
And we ask it to be like your hand touching her now,
yes,
Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
We pray, God, there'll be a change from this moment of time. And Lord, it'll be a better change. It'll be a change for the good, Lord, that you'll rid her of every evil, Lord, that would try to destroy her life.
Jesus.
That you would put your hand upon her, Lord, and she'd be amended from this moment of time, Lord, never to be troubled again with this trouble that she's having, Lord. And we just ask your blessing to fall upon her now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask for you to give the witness, Lord.
Yes.
Because man's unable to give it, but you're able to do it by your Holy Spirit.
Yes,
Lord, we are expecting a change from this moment. And we declare it now in the name of Jesus Christ, that the child shall be well.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Yes,
we say amen this morning, Lord. And we give you glory, and we give you praise, and we give you honor, Lord. We say not unto us, Lord, but unto thy great name be all the glory. Honor and power and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Bless you, brother Stephen.
Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good?
Amen.
Amen. We believe that the Bible says the affection, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we just want to thank the Lord. Praise God. And now, I don't have one particular scripture, but I want to start out in the book of Romans 6 this morning. And I know I've went over these things before, but I was praying about what to bring this morning, and this just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And I'm going to share it with you again. It's God's plan of salvation. It's a simple wee message. I want to read from Romans 6, verse 23. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord. And this is God's plan of salvation. I sent to the wife this morning. I don't know how many times that I've went over this, wrote it out, put it in this tablet, and it keeps disappearing. And I don't know where it goes. But I've lost it so many times, and I've had to go over it again. But I think it's maybe God's way getting me to learn it more. And I believe this is a simple message, but it's real important. It's like a questionnaire. And the answers are all from the Bible. And two parts tell it, but we won't have time this morning to go through it all. And God has a plan of salvation. And the wonderful thing about God's plan of salvation, every man and every woman, that plan's for you. That plan is for you. Now we know sinward is an outward spiritual attitude of rebellion towards God, which is expressed in outward acts of disobedience. And every one of us are sinners in this way. All of us are sinners. And by our sinful lives, we rob God of the glory due him. And we know that sin's followed by three main consequences. Number one is the inward spiritual death. Number two is the physical spiritual, physical death. And number three is finally separation from God and from family and from friends. Separation in a place of darkness, in a place that you can't return from and your friends can't go to you. There's a gulf will be fixed in that place of separation. But Christ came into the world to save us from our sins. And himself without sin took our sins upon him, and he died on the cross. And he rose again from the dead on the third day that we can have forgiveness of our sins and receive eternal life. Now I want you first of all to see the consequences of sin this morning. And I've done this like a questionnaire, and there's many scriptures in Revelation 4:11 of the first one. For what purpose was all things created? And Revelations tells us that all things were created for God's pleasure and for God's glory were they created. So no matter what the devil tells you, and no matter what road you're on this morning, and no matter how many days you have that you're down, you were created by the Lord and for the Lord. And the Lord has a purpose for every single person in this room this morning. And not only are you created by the Lord and for the Lord, but you were created for the Lord's pleasure. And God's a good plan for you. And God wants you to understand that plan and come into that plan. Now there's three things. There's three ways also we know in which God is to receive this glory and honor which the Lord wants. We were created for his pleasure and for his glory. And there's three ways we're to receive this. God wants glory, he wants honor, and he's got the power. And all the glory must go to the Lord when anything happens. And all the honor must go to the Lord when anything happens. Too often we give men the glory. You know, it's watching the thing and I couldn't watch it very long, to be honest with you. I had to switch it off. But it was all about a man. It was all about glory in a man. But there's only one man this morning that we want to glory here in Banbridge or Brooklyn is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another thing here. In which way and in what way have all men sinned? And all men have sinned in that they've fallen short of the glory of God. That's how all of us sinned. Romans 3:23. All of us has fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. I shared on Thursday night about Martin Luther. And Martin Luther fell short of God's glory. And Martin Luther knew it. And Martin Luther done everything in his own power and strength to try and find favor with God. And Martin Luther in his own strength and power couldn't find favor with God. Because there's no works we can do to find favor with God. And it's different if you're saved. The Bible talks about believers doing works. But for the unsaved, you cannot work to be saved. It's a free gift of God. When man turned away from God, you know the first two things, sins that they committed. And man in the beginning turned away from God, and the first two things, sins he committed, they didn't glorify God, and they weren't thankful. And that's the first two sins that man committed in Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful and became vain in their imagination and foolishness of heart. And you know, we're living in a dispensation, we're living in an age where when you read the book of Romans, it says they no longer retain God in their knowledge. And we're living in a dispensation, an age for people no longer want to retain God in their knowledge. Where men do things with men and women do things with women. And Paul says it's unseemly. It It's a works of darkness. And they call sweeter, bitter, sweet, and sweet, bitter. That's the age we're living in. And them things are bad, but the worst thing of all is they don't want to retain God in the knowledge. And our schools don't want to retain God in the schools. And our government are afraid to stand up for truths. In case you don't vote for them when they stand for the truth. And this is the very start, the way it happened out. They became vain in their imagination. The foolish heart was darkened. Here's another thing I want you to see also in Jeremiah 17:9. I want you to notice two facts about the human heart. The human heart's deceitful above all things, and it's wicked. Somebody could be really nice to your face, but in their heart, they're full of evil. They're full of wickedness. They could say one thing with their lips and mean the opposite from their heart. But they could deceive you and me. But God sees every heart, and God knows every heart. And the Bible said the heart's deceitfully wicked and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only the Lord can know it. And the Lord knows the heart this morning. The Lord knows every single person's heart. And all these are the conditions of sin. These are the reasons sin caused all these conditions, what I'm sharing with you. There's another one here. Who alone can know the human heart? The Lord alone. He's the only one can know it. Nobody else can know it. You know, if you were to read Mark 7, verse 21 to 22, and there's 13 evils that the Bible says come out of the human heart. 13 evils. Not just one evil, but 13 evils. You imagine in the beginning, man didn't have these evils before the fall. Before sin, there was no evils. But because of the fall, because of sin, 13 evils in the human heart. And the Bible tells us these 13 evils. Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, mischievousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Every single one of us this morning is guilty of one of these things. All of us, the Bible says, has fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. There's not a man in this room or a woman could go and put a finger in somebody else and say, I'm better than you. Because you can't do it. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord. You know, Paul the Apostle, when he preached, and Paul was a great apostle, Paul said, some of us were fornicators, some of us were adulterers, but we're now in Christ Jesus. So at one point, all of us were guilty. Here's another thing. If we're able to do something good and don't do it, what does the Bible call it? The Bible calls it sin. You hear people saying, I could help him, but I'll not bother. I'll not bother doing it. I could pull him out, but he can go and get stuffed. You ever heard that? Well, I've heard it. I'm not bothered to do it. Now, I know a lot of this is for Christians, but we, most of us are believers here. James 4:17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him sin. And it's not just meaning to help somebody. It's meaning what way you're living for the Lord. We're not to do sinful willfully. You know, the Bible tells us that. We're not to sin willfully. But we're to live right. And when we know to do the right thing, we don't do it. Here's another thing. If we say we have no sin, you know, what are we doing? We're deceiving our own selves, aren't we? If we say we have no sin. 1 John 1 verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth not in us. Well, I worked with a woman years ago and she had no sin, apparently. She told me I needed to get saved as a sinner. She says to me, she shook my hand and everything. I just says, Tommy, I'm glad you got saved. You needed to get saved. But she says, I never done the things you done. She didn't need to get saved. She was too good. But I said to her, you know, Margaret, the Bible says all the righteousness is filthy rags. That's when she tipped the bowl of chocolate or serving time in a bakery. She tipped the bowl of chocolate over my head. She wasn't impressed with the answer. But you see, a person can never be saved unless they acknowledge they're a sinner. Did you know that? You never can be saved, because what would you be saved from? You're saved from sin. But if you never acknowledge you're a sinner, you can't be saved. And here's the crux of it all. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And he can save nobody, only sinners. Because that's who he came to save. Thank God for this morning. You know, I bumped into Margaret. I bumped into her a few months back. A good few months back. But she let on, she didn't see me. She kept clear of me. She's afraid of me asking her, was she saved yet? She's afraid of me asking her. The sad thing is, I don't believe she's still not saved. She's an old woman now. She was getting on then, but she's an old woman now. See, Joe, we can't say we've no sin. Then what's the consequences sin brought upon human beings? There's the consequences that sin brought. And that consequences is in Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. The consequence of the sin is death. And death is an appointment that none of us will miss except the Lord comes for us. Every one of us are going to have the appointment with death. But if you're saved this morning, death won't have dominion over you. Death won't have no power over you. Because if you're saved, you'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. But if you're not saved, that's a different story. Death will have dominion over you. Death will have power over you. Your soul will go to a place, because it can't go to heaven because you're not saved. It'll go to a place called hell. Romans 6 and 23 says this. For the wages of sin is death, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you can have the gift of God, eternal life, or you can have death. Wages, and the wages is death for your sin. Or you can have the gift, and the gift's free. You know, I remember some time back when the children here was at the front, and I had a fiver, and I said, who wants the fiver? I'm giving it away, and nobody moved. But Deborah, she wasn't so slow. She took the fiver. None of these big fellas wanted it. I thought they'd run for it, but they didn't want it. But Deborah took it, and it was hers. She got the fiver. Now, I know fiver's been a bit miserable, isn't it, in this day and age? Should have been 20 quid, maybe. Maybe we'll do 20 the next time. We'll see if it moves somebody a bit faster. Maybe you'll have competition if we do 20. But you see, it's free. I was giving it away. It's free. And I tell you, see, there's a program on the radio in the mornings, and I'm going early to work, and if you have the radio on, you can win 500,000. Now, there's nobody in here who wouldn't want to win it. And if you tell me you wouldn't want to win it, I know that's not true. Every one of you would want to win 500,000. But I don't enter. There's a thing on my phone where it's blocked that you can't do. I don't know how it works myself, half of it. But anyhow, it's not free. That 500's not really free. Because if that radio program gets 1 million people to ring in at £2.58, they're paying for your 500. It's a gamble, isn't it? It's a gamble. They're paying for the 500. Praise God. I remember one time somebody said to me, if I won something and give you it, what would you do with it? I said, praise God. What else was I going to tell them? And they said to me, what would I come the wrong way? I said, but you're the three straws in the book of Acts. And that's how they worked it. Amen. You know, I'm just joking. But if you win the 500, don't forget about me. You know, there's a final end. There's a final end. There is a final end for the unrepentant sinner. It's a sad thing, isn't it? There's a final end. You see, there's not a final end for the Christian. I want you to get this. You see, there's something very important that people don't realize. It's not saved. And many people, and you say to them, they say, when I die, that's the end of it. But that's not true. Because the dead, whether they're saved or not saved, they're going to come out of the graves. And there's going to be a judgment day. And everybody's going to come before the judgment throne of God. And everyone's going to have to give an account for themselves. Now the Christian will be judged like the unbeliever, because he comes under Romans 8 verse 1. There's no condemnation. Judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. But those that rejected Christ, that were never saved, they're going to come under judgment. And they're going to be annihilated from the presence of God. And they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, which the Bible says is a second death. And then the Lord Jesus, when he's here on earth, said, don't have any fear of the first death, but it's the second death you need to fear. But if you've got the Lord, you've no fear of the second death. Matthew 25 and 41 says, then shall he say also unto them in the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. God never made hell for man. He made hell for the devil and his fallen angels that followed him. A third part of heaven went after him, didn't it? They went the wrong way. And God's reserved hell's made for them. The lake of fire's for them. And Revelation 20, verse 12 to 15 says this, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Now people talk about the Lamb's book of life, but the Bible talks about books. There's more than one book. Now the Lamb's book of life, your name was in it before the foundation of the world. I know the song says that it's written down, but God already had it in it. Because God known all things, but when you could see him, yes, there's a time when I believe there's another book. God keeps a record. How many believes that? Absolutely. The Bible talks about the books. And these books were opened and another book was opened, which is the book of life. So there's lots of books were opened and this book of life was opened. And you know there's a book, God's a book when you were born and come into the world. There's a register. Just like there's a hospital register. When a certain Matthew was born at a certain time and he weighed a certain weight, there's a register. And God has a register. And when you're saved, there's a register as well. I believe that. And these books were open. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell were delivered up. And the dead which are in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So this book of life is an important book. Very important book. And I could say to you, God knows everyone that's in it, but I don't know. So everybody has to get saved. You have to have your own experience of getting saved. And your dad can be saved and pray for you, and that's good, but you need to get saved. I want you to notice also eight things here. Different kinds of people that go in this lake of fire. Eight different kinds of people in Revelation 21, 8. But the fearful. The fearful's gone in. The unbelieving's gone in. The abominable's gone in. The murderers. So you see all the years people here that's killed and their body's been hit all over the place. And they think they've gotten away with it. Well, the Bible says they haven't. Now you said, but David murdered. Yes, but he repented. That's why there has to be a repentance. That's what repentance means. It's not just smoking a wee fag. There's some repentance. There's a deep repentance. Maybe a man's killed someone. He can repent of it. Maybe he's committed adultery with another man's wife. They have to repent of it. There's repentance. The Bible talks about repentance. But those that don't repent, they're going to have a time here where the murderer, the whoremonger, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars are going to take their part in the lake of fire, which burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. See, that's a terrible place. Nobody wants to go this. This is why a preacher preaches. You see this man here, this is why when I get a chance at a funeral to preach the gospel, and people hate me for it, I know that. But I'm going to preach it anyhow. Even in a wedding, they'll try and bring it in, and people will hate me for it, but I don't care. Because here's a place that I'm trying to warn people about. Don't want to see nobody going to this place. And I'm here to warn you. And I tell you, the Lord doesn't want you to go there ever, either. Now I want to share with you for a few moments, and I'm not going to be really long this morning. The purpose of Christ's death and his resurrection, the real purpose of Christ's death and resurrection is so simple. For what purpose did Christ come into the world? 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful sign and worthy of all expectation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I'm the chief. And that, aren't you glad he came to save sinners? Look, I would be no better than any person in this room, maybe worse. But the Lord saved me. I acknowledged the need. And the Lord saved me. The Lord saved sinners. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I can't sell you any indulgences this morning like the old priest might try to do. But I can offer you the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in faith. And he'll save you. And he'll change you. And he'll commend you. Literally commend you. And you'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Whom did Christ call and whom did Christ receive? Who did he call and who did he receive? In Matthew 9:13. But go ye and learn what this meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Lord Jesus came to save the sinner. The Lord didn't come to save holy. I was going to say holy Joe, but if somebody's called Joe, they could take offense at that. But you know what I mean? These people think they're holy, but they're not one bit holy. If you could look in their heart, you'd get a shock. It's as black as pitch. The very fact they think they're holy proves they're even blacker. Because if they're not saved and born again and washed in the blood of Jesus, they're stinking. They're stinking in the nostrils of God. And every man will thank the Lord, but there's hope. Because Jesus came to save sinners. That's what he's saying here. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. And repentance means an about turn. Like the roundabout. You do an about turn. You don't do the things you used to do. You have to do an about turn. Luke 15 verse 2, it says this. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You see, they were holy. They only would eat with the same buddies as themselves. But the Lord Jesus went down to the house of publicans, down to the house of sinners. He called Zacchaeus down under the tree, the tax collector, and he says, I'm going to your house for lunch. He was shocked. That wasn't it? He said, you mean to say Jesus is coming to my house? And he said, yes, Jesus is coming to your house today. And then there they were, the religious Pharisees. Did you see that? Imagine he's meant to be holy and he's healing people and he's doing all these miracles and he's going down to that sinner's house. But that's where the Lord goes. That's where the Lord goes. The Lord goes to the sinners because there's no point going to the righteous. They have no need. He's only going to where there's a need. And the Lord will go to where there's a need. And just as these wee children came to be prayed for, and that wee girl had a need, you bring her to Jesus. Jesus wants the people with a need. And he'll touch those that have the need. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Did Christ commit sin himself? My, a lot of people, they think, you know, the Virgin Mary had to pray for Jesus in case he would feel. Absolute nonsense. That's blasphemy. It's absolutely unscriptural. Hebrews 4 verse 14 says this. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. 1 Peter 2:22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. This is why real Christianity is the most powerful thing there is in the world today. Do you know why? Buddha was a sinner. Muhammad was a sinner. They were born sinners, them men, whoever they were. I don't know much about them, but I know people worshiping them. They're a horse waiting at one of their graves, ready to rise. But they were born sinners. And the fact that they were born sinner, do you know what that means? Death had a claim on them. And death had a legal claim on them. Legally, scripturally, death had a claim on them men because they were born sinners. But Jesus Christ was born without sin. Death had no claim on him. No claim on him whatsoever legally. Because he had no sin. But Jesus willingly took your place. And he took my place. And he stepped into your death and my death. And he took the death you and me was due on his own self. And he conquered it on the cross. conquered death and he conquered hell and he conquered the grave. Me and you could never have conquered it, but he conquered it. He defeated it. And this is why Christianity is so powerful, because death has no claim in Jesus. But Jesus says, come on. And he took it on and he won. Now here's another thing. What did Christ bear for us on the cross? 1 Peter 2:24. He his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He bore our sins on the tree. That we've been dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By his stripes or wounds ye were healed. So the Lord Jesus took our sins on the tree. He bore them. So we don't have to carry them around no more. We can get them over to heaven. And then he says, by his stripes we're healed. That we girls healed by the stripes of Jesus. Sister, you're healed. Brother, you're healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's what the Word of God says. Here's another thing. For what did Christ die on the cross? For what did Christ die on the cross? 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. That's why he died. The just for the unjust. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. He died the just for the unjust. We were unjust, but he died for us, because he loves us. I want you to see three things that Paul taught about the Lord Jesus Christ to be the gospel here. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 to 4. Three things. For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Three things. Christ died for our sins is number one. That's the gospel. You haven't preached the gospel if you don't preach Christ died for the sinner. People say we preach the gospel and they never mention any of them things. Well, they haven't preached the gospel. Because Paul tells us these are the three most important things about the gospel. Christ died for our sins. Number two, he was buried. Amen. Buried under the ground. Number three, he rose again the third day. He's not on the cross this morning, and he's not in the tomb. He's risen. Not only is he risen, he's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And he's our high priest this morning. We have a real priest. Now, he's not a priest that wears a collar and a black shirt. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's clothed in glory. He's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. We have open access into his throne room, into his presence. We can come into him, come on to him. And he stands like that and he says, come on to me and I'll give you rest. That's what he says. Here's another thing. Seeing that Jesus Christ is now alive forevermore, what is he able to do for those that come to him? Hebrews 7 verse 25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost. Amen. If you come to the Lord, he's able to save you. I know people say, boys, I couldn't be saved. I couldn't keep it. And you wouldn't keep it 5 minutes, but the Lord will keep you. He's kept me all these years, preaching over 30 years. I didn't think it would last 5 minutes, and I wouldn't have. But the Lord saved me. I couldn't save myself. I'd have tried in a field. The Lord saved me. And he's kept me. And here he says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. So the only way he could come is by him, Jesus Christ. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Now there's three things Christ offered to all men in the name of Jesus Christ. Three things. Luke 24, 47. And in repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance, remission of sins. Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. So the Lord offers you repentance and remission, total forgiveness of all sins. And he offers you salvation all through Christ. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That's what the Lord's offering. How much, brother? Nothing. It's free. Back to our text and I'm closing. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God has eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Lord's offering you repentance this morning. The Lord's offering you remission of sins. And the Lord's offering you salvation. And he's saying you can come and have them. They're free. I can't give you it, but the Lord can. How will I get it? By calling on the name of the Lord. It's so simple. You say, Brother Tom, this is a real simple message. It's true. You see, when you have the idea of something simple, so you need to complicate it, that's man's idea. When God said to Cain and Abel, you know, bring the sacrifice, Cain thought, here, I'll impress God. And he brought the best his hands could bring. But Abel said, there's no way I can impress God. What can I offer God? Sure, he's made everything. I'll tell you what I'll do. I know that God killed an animal and he clothed my parents. So there had to be blood shed. So here I'll go on that revelation and I'll come with the blood of a lamb. And he kills a lamb and he hangs it over his shoulder and the blood's dripping down over him. And he comes and he offers it to the Lord and the Lord accepts it. Because the Lord needed the blood of the lamb, blood, to cover the sin. And God accepted Abel's sacrifice and he rejected Cain's. And the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago, he shed his precious blood. His precious blood was shed to wash away your sins and my sins. But we have to accept it. We have to believe it. And that's how simple it is. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's stand our feet this morning. Let's close our eyes this morning, praise God. And I'm not going to ask anybody to come up or anything like that. But I'm going to ask you where you are. I want you in your own heart. If God has spoke to you, call on the Lord and get saved. You need to get saved. You need to turn from your sin. You could do different things than I done, but you're still a sinner. I was a sinner. But you can have your sins forgiven through the blood of Jesus, but simply calling on the name of the Lord, repenting of your sins, asking the Lord to wash in his blood. You can have your sins forgiven. Well, every head's bowed, every eye closed. There's the one this morning, and you need a touch from the Lord. Lift your hand up to the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your precious word. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will do its work. Lord, it's your word. You promised your word will not return unto you void. And Father, I pray that your word will work. The Holy Ghost will work. That you'll work upon the lives of men and women in this house. In the name of Jesus Christ. For your own people that need a touch in the body this morning. Lord, we read 1 Peter 2:24, he his own self bear our sins and his own body on the tree that we've been dead to sins should live unto righteousness by whose wounds stripes we were healed. Lord, you took paid for our healing on the cross by the stripes upon your back. And I pray that people will be healed. Pray for we Ivy and Sina. You bless them both. Bless your parents. In the name of Jesus Christ, cover them with your precious blood. And bless everyone in this house today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you. The Brother Gary comes in. Don't forget this evening, and Brother Mark preaching tonight. I know I haven't been long this morning, but we'll sing a few songs and you'll get out early. But think of these things. I know it's simple, but think on them and pray. Pray. That God will speak on. Praise God. The Lord bless you.
Amen. Let's sing the hymn, in loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through love he lifted me.
In loving kindness Jesus came. I'm
to sing one more of him before we close then. I am so glad our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. You know, it was love made him die on that cross for you, praise God, for me. And I certainly appreciate God's love. Amen.
I